You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Irirangi Pō, Radio Bosom.
The Wire.
The Family Violence Clearinghouse has released a new report concerning sexual abuse in relationships in adolescence. The report covers how violence and abuse in adolescence is disproportionately unreported and how education concerning gender norms can help to combat this issue. I spoke with author of the report, Dr. Melanie Burrs from Otago University, who began by telling me about what the report covered.
Well, this report was a literature scan of New Zealand and international literature looking at the issues of adolescent relationship violence and abuse. And so it talks a bit about the prevalence of such violence as well as what we can do both to intervene in the violence as well as prevent that type of violence.
Cool. And why do you think the focus has been predominantly on adults and not adolescents? And why is it so important to really focus on adolescents?
Okay, so a lot of the current literature and our responses kind of forget in some ways about adolescent relationship violence and abuse. And that's largely because as adults, there's research that suggests that we don't take adolescent relationships seriously. So you know, we think that someone might have a crush and then that might be rather fleeting and the next week they're going to be on to someone else. And what the report shows in terms of the violence that adolescents are experiencing is that we need to be taking them a lot more seriously and equipping them with the skills to manage it. The other thing about adolescence is that it's a key time for the formation and development of intermittent romantic relationships. And so intervening in adolescence and helping them build strong relationships can really carry them forward into adulthood.
And how do you think like romance has changed with adolescence and is different now with social media and the internet?
So social media is key, but there's also a lot of evidence to suggest that adolescents today are not so much dating, that's an old term, or having relationships, but things may be more fleeting and more casual or more relaxed. When I talk with adolescents, they talk about having a thing with someone. And so the types of relationships are shifting to being sort of more in casual in nature rather than established relationships.
And how do you think that affects sexual violence and the concept of a relationship?
I guess if a relationship is not likely to be defined as such, then it might make it more difficult to pick up and identify when particularly abusive behaviors, like emotional and psychological abusive behaviors.
So what distinguishes New Zealand in this report from other international countries?
In a lot of ways, I think New Zealand is consistent with the international literature. One of the strengths of New Zealand is around kaupapa Māori research and developing community-based programs that serve Māori or our indigenous population. And that's something that we have a focus on that's different than other international locations. But in terms of prevalence rates, I think New Zealand is quite consistent.
And your report talks a lot about gender stereotypes and how they influence especially men to commit sexual violence. What can this tell us about reporting violence for men?
Yes, actually, I'm glad you brought that up because it's the gender norms that I was talking about in terms of the ways in which we value masculinity as something that where men are supposed to be in control and are supposed to want sex create an environment where this kind of violence can happen, and it can be equally damaging for men when they do experience forms of violence. And one thing that I point out in the report is that the type of masculinity in those norms, when men are victims of violence, are used to either blame them for the violence or discredit them, right? So if men are supposed to want sex all the time and a man has been sexually assaulted, sometimes they can turn around and say, well, you must have wanted it, right? Because of those kinds of ideas. So the norms around masculinity that we need to be challenging are both for when men perpetrate violence as well as for when men are victims of violence.
And do you think that the statistics are disproportionately in favour of women because of the lack of reporting from men?
Reporting rates are low across the board. The research, In terms of reporting to police, women are not very likely to report to police, but men are less likely to report to police or authorities. But in terms of the sort of more survey literature and research, the findings are pretty consistent to say that that women are disproportionately represented as victims in this area.
And if the perpetrators are disproportionately male, what mm-hmm. can we do to help them and women?
Okay, so a lot of perpetrators are disproportionately male. And again, it's around challenging these norms of masculinity, providing different models for them to engage in relationships with others that allow for vulnerability and allow for emotions and privilege other things rather than this notion of that they have to be in control all the time.
And finally, what would your advice be for somebody who's struggling with sexual abuse or in that position?
To try and seek out support and help. There's a National Rape Crisis Line for young people and adolescents. Youth Line is also a really good resource. And they have texting services and web-based chat services as well, so it's not just over the phone. And Women's Refuge also supports young women who are in violent relationships as well.
Around, you know, up to 8 or 10,000.
Shit.
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.